I had a maybe you could run the line of the Midnight Cry on there. We were looking at that last night on the call. And I would just be curious how it would how you might fit it on there.
Well, I don't know where to find the line of the Midnight Cry. I don't have it in my
Like if you go back to where you were talking about the election and the inauguration, could you, would they fit on that line?
here.
Yeah, right
Can you see
there.
this?
Yeah.
All right. Let me back all these off. Let
So
me, except for
some of
that
the,
one, I should.
yeah, some of the context maybe we're doing the last number four of your lecture on the hidden history of verse 40. That's what we're looking at. And you make several comparisons of how the Midnight Cry goes from 9/11, but also from 2023, July of 2023. And one's beginning, one's like you do a lot of first last and how they tie together. So if you can maybe explain some of that so we can hear how you would explain it.
Okay. I know I read through Zechariah 4 really fast, but there were several things in there. Zechariah 4 has always been really profound. But the one thing that I have on this screen here is that the hands of Zerubbabel, he lays the foundation, and you can show that the foundation is laid at the point when the divine symbol comes down. Okay. The divine symbol came down in the time of Christ at his baptism, and Sister White tells us at his baptism, the first few disciples that he took to himself were the foundation of the Christian church. She says that. And so when the divine symbol comes down, the foundation is laid. But Zechariah talks about Zerubbabel being the person that lays the foundation. And he also places the capstone, which is the conclusion of the whole work. Capstone, the temple has been erected. So the temple is erected at the Sunday Law because the temple was erected October 22nd, 1844, which typifies the Sunday Law. And the erection of the Millerite Temple began at the time of the end over here in 1798. So in this history, the work of erecting the temple requires that the Lord unseals the message over here, the unsealing of the prophetic message. And then the Lord chooses a messenger to gather the message together, to gather the stones. And so the methodology is put in place in this history. And then when the message is confirmed, empowered, the divine symbol comes down, and then the foundation is laid. And for the Millerites, they get credit at one level for laying the foundation, period. And we are the capstone to the Millerite work. But in their history, they would also have a foundation after 1840, and the capstone would be 1844. I contend we haven't seen it before, but that the foundation for William Miller was the seven times first thing that he discovered, and that the capstone was also the seven times in conjunction with the Seventh-day Sabbath, because I think they are parallels or sisters or whatever you want to call them prophetically. The one is the Sabbath rest for man, and the other is the Sabbath rest for land. And they both come into this history where the capstone is placed. Therefore, our foundations, the 9/11, is returning to the Millerite understanding and an agreement with that. One of the old truths that we understood and that we had not understood was the seven times. So once again, the seven times becomes a symbol of our foundation. And then when we get over here to where the capstone is going to be placed, we have in the middle here, July 18th, 2020, the first disappointment. Okay, and in our history, this history here from July 18th here, this is the time period of the Midnight Cry that you're thinking about. And I'm saying that this history here, whether you have all picked up on it or not, this is the seven thunders that is unsealed just before probation closes. There's a truth about the seven thunders in Revelation chapter 10 that isn't understood until post July 18th. And that truth is that this is the Alpha, and it's a disappointment. It's our first disappointment. And this is the Omega, which is the last disappointment. And in the middle of these two disappointments, you have the Midnight Cry. Okay, so the message of the Midnight Cry is, of course, the capstone. It is the message that is the final touch on the message that's being built since 1989, when the methodology was understood and brought together and then empowered at 9/11. And then the Lord led his people back to the old path and discovered the seven times. And then they have their first disappointment, just as the Millerites did, followed by the Exeter Camp meeting and the Midnight Cry that led to the great disappointment. So this is the signature of truth. Alpha and Omega, both disappointments, and the rebellion of the foolish virgins in the Watertown tent is the Hebrew letter 13. Okay, so this history here, which is part of the hidden history from 1989 until the Sunday law, this is the hidden history of the seven thunders. That in that history, you have a very detailed step-by-step process of the sealing of the 144,000. It's not simply, oh, they're sealed, okay? The Lord has taken great care to give us the nuts and bolts of this history. So the nuts and bolts of this history, I don't know if this is what you're asking, but I'm heading there anyway. When you bring Revelation 11 over, the two witnesses are going to die in the streets of Sodom and Egypt on 7/18/2020, and they're going to be dead until July of 2023. And the fact that they're dead in the streets for 3.5 days is it's a symbol of the 1260, which is the symbol of the seven times. And the fact that it's the symbol of the seven times says that one of the things that we have to understand when we get awakened down here in July of 2023 is we have to be awakened to the fact that we've been scattered, that we have been walking contrary to God, that He's been walking contrary to us. And we have to confess our sins and the sins of our fathers, that during this history here, the history of the tarrying time in the verbiage of the parable of the 10 virgins, in that history right here, the tarrying time, we weren't with the Lord. We were scattered. And when we're scattered, we have to pray the prayer of Leviticus 26. And also we find as this prophecies unsealed, we have to pray the prayer of Daniel chapter 2. One's an external about the image of the beast, and the enigma of the eighth being of the seven and how that impacts end time Bible prophecy. But we also need to pray the prayer of repentance as represented by Daniel in chapter 9. And once Daniel prays that prayer of repentance, I don't know if I should put a waymark in here because I'm not going to argue that is a waymark so much. But once he's done that prayer of chapter 9, then Gabriel comes and he's going to show him the truth of Daniel chapter 10. And it's in Daniel chapter 10 where he illustrates the combination of divinity and humanity that is accomplished upon the 144,000 for eternity. Okay, so somewhere in here, where the capstone is placed, where Daniel is in Daniel chapter 10, this is the sealing, the actual sealing of the 144,000, and this is the Exeter Camp meeting, And this is the 10 days that lead to Pentecost. Now, in Pentecost, this was preceded by 40 days. That's going to be harder for me to do. Anyway, it's preceded by 40 days. Let me do it this way. Preceded by 40 days. And 10 days to Pentecost. Christ was here with them in person for 40 days. And then right here, he ascended to heaven. And the two angels said to the disciples, the same Jesus is going to come the same way that he appeared. He's going to come with clouds. And now they're on their own coming into unity at Pentecost, which is also the Exeter Camp meeting, which is awful close to where we're at. Okay, so now that I didn't identify specifically what the messages are, the message of Islam and other elements like that, but I've answered enough of your question for a follow-up question, perhaps.
Okay, so I'm going to read to you what we were looking at in your article. It says, in the Millerite history, the test of the message of the Midnight Cry was to prepare them to enter with Jesus by faith into the most holy place of the heavenly sanctuary. The message of the Midnight Cry is now being developed. That is now being developed, also represented as the testing of the formation of the image of the beast. They are both the test that leads to the close of probation where a character is manifested. When the Millerites entered into the most holy place by faith, their faith was once again tested. The faith of the 144,000 will be tested at the Sunday law, but they are promised that they will be safe, for they will walk in the light proceeding from the seventh seal, which was opened when the message of the Midnight Cry began to be unsealed in July of 2023. The message that was unsealed at that time is established through the methodology of line upon line, which is the methodology of the latter rain. So you're tying a lot of concepts together here. The latter rain began to sprinkle in 2001, and the final test of Adventism began on July of 2023, the final period in the testing process that concludes at the Sunday law, beginning with the message of the Midnight Cry, which is also the latter rain, which is also the increase of knowledge that is preceded when the seventh seal is removed and is also unsealed. I'm sorry, is also the unsealing of the seven thunders, as well as the revelation of Jesus Christ. All lines that represent an unsealing of prophetic light are identified as being unsealed in the hidden history of verse 40 of Daniel chapter 11. And it goes on. And so you put a lot of lines together there of a lot of different, what would you say? You know, you have the seven thunders, you have the revelation of Jesus, you have the Midnight Cry message. And then there's another place in here where you talked about them being, let me see if I can find that quickly. Maybe I can't.
Well, let me show you something with this, the chart the way it is.
Yeah.
What was unsealed in 1989, two things. It was the reform lines, and it was Daniel 11, 40 to 45.
Mm-hmm.
That was the beginning of this history. And I'm saying that at the ending of this history, down here in the ceiling of the 144,000, as of July 2023, then the unsealing of 1989 needs to be repeated. Okay, because what was unsealed at the beginning is going to be unsealed at the end, because Jesus illustrates the end from the beginning. And here we are, you and I, and we're grappling with how to understand the hidden history of verse 40. Well, that's this. Okay? It's the same thing that was unsealed in 1989. And we're trying to understand this hidden history of verse 40, which is just one part of one verse of the last six verses that were unsealed in 1989. And the way that we're trying to understand that is through the reform lines, which was also unsealed in 1989. But what we didn't understand about the reform lines until post July 2023 was that the hidden history of the seven thunders, as we just described it, the Alpha, the omega over here, the alpha here, and the 13 here, that this application of this prophetic structure is based upon truth, okay? So in July of 2023, the Lord opens up to us an insight about the Hebrew word truth. It doesn't change anything that we've ever taught about the reform lines, but it puts a seal of approval upon investigating lines within lines when they possess this three-step testing process. So what I'm saying is this, without going any further, is that of July 2023 over here, which is the omega of the history of the movement of the third angel, that what was unsealed in 1989 is unsealed again. Okay, it's unsealing the hidden history of verse 40, the way the last six verses of Daniel 11 were unsealed in 1989. And in 1989, the reform lines were unsealed, and here they're being unsealed in a more profound way. Whereas in 9/11, what was unsealed is the old path. And I'm going to just say, I know the other old path that we came to really settle into in after 9/11, being what they are, Islam, the daily. But the one that is the symbol of the foundations is the seven times, right? 17. So that's the seven times is not only a symbol of the seven times, it's a symbol of the foundations. So over here in 723, we have the most profound revelation of the seven times that's ever been opened up, because it's telling you that that prayer of Leviticus 26 is the prayer you must pass, you must accomplish, not just lip service. It really has to be a heart work and a head work of both. And that takes the prophetic knowledge of the seven times that was unsealed in 9/11 to a completely different level, because now it's making the message an internal message more than an external understanding. And at the same time, the history of the tarrying time identifies a scattering, and you can see that prophetically, Elijah and Moses, those candidates to be among the 144,000, that they've actually been scattered by the judgment of seven times for disobedience, because they were disobedient in July of 2020 by proclaiming a message directly contradictory to what the Lord said. So what I'm saying is, at 7:23, you also have the seven times that was unsealed at 9/11, and the old path that are unsealed, and the third woe was unsealed at 9/11. And of course, we made an incorrect prediction about the third woe, 7:18. But the Midnight Cry message in Millerite history was a correction of their incorrect prediction. So when the
Amen.
truth was sealed in July of 2023, the correction showed that the third woe is the great earthquake of the Sunday Law. So all three of these waymarks, 9/11, and this history of the awakening and the Sunday Law, they're all. It's a line of the third woe. So what was unsealed about the third woe at 9/11 was good, but what's unsealed about the third woe in July of 2023 is that it is the, well, we knew this, it was the wind that comes from the east wind, all those truths that we understood, but we really didn't see that. I didn't hear anyone teach this, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that Ezekiel 37 was never to be busted out into individual metaphorical parables. It's all one statement. So when the message of the midnight cry is clearly the wind, the message of the four winds that blows upon the bones that brings them back to life, as beginning in July 2023, and it's a two-step process there. First, they come together, and then they stand up on their feet, a mighty army, which means that from July 2023, there's got to be a two-step process to this message. One, two. But Also, you can't separate the rest of the passage, and the rest of the passage is about the two sticks being joined together. And what was unsealed here, post July 2023, is that the two sticks didn't simply represent the two time prophecies of the 2520, but it represented the lower and higher nature of man that was to come together from 1798 to 1844 and form a temple that also came together with the temple prophecy of 2300 days, because at that point, the humanity of divinity was supposed to combine, because on October 22nd, 1844, you had the sounding of the seventh trumpet, which was the mystery of godliness, but the people of that generation rebelled. So, what was unsealed on July 2023 was an unsealing of the third woe. It was an unsealing of the seven times. It was an unsealing of all these truths that have previously been unsealed, but it was also an unsealing of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the revelation of Jesus Christ cannot be separated from the very first thing he says about it in Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The first thing that he says about the revelation of Jesus Christ is that if you're going to receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, then you need to understand that there's a specific communication process that goes from the Father to the Son, to an angel, to a prophet, to the churches. And when it's sent to the churches, then the churches possess the message itself. And at no step along the way is that message anything but sacred. But along the way, it's first given by the Father to the Son, and then to Gabriel or an angel. So at that point, the only people that are handling the message are pure created beings in the angels, or the Father and the Son. And then it's handed to a prophet who's a fallen human being, but holy men spake as they were moved, so it was a holy man. And then he sends it out to a church that consists of wheat and tares. Okay, but it never changes the power and effectiveness of that message. You know, blessed is he who hears and keepeth the words that are written therein, for the time is at hand. And what was opened up in this history here also was the revelation of Jesus Christ, because that's where he began to manifest himself as the wonderful linguist, and he used the Hebrew word truth to identify that those people that combine their humanity with divinity do so by incorporating his word, which is his prophetic word, as found in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, into their hearts and minds, into their sacred precincts. And that's what accomplishes the atonement and allows them to be among the 144,000. So all of these truths, including the unsealing of the seventh seal, they get unsealed in this history here. And all of them are simply omegas to truths that have previously been unsealed in this history.
So then, the way that I would understand it is we're watching the effect of every vision from Ezekiel chapter, what, 12, verse 23. And so our proclamation, in essence, is Behold, the bridegroom cometh, meaning you need to prepare yourself to be fit to stand at the Sunday law. And this is the evidences that you're laying out here, the 40 and the 10. That Daniel has this experience in Daniel chapter 10, that he understands the what is it there? It's what's the word for the seven times there?
Mari, visit Mar seven times. Oh, the oath of Moses and the curse of Moses.
Yeah,
No.
it's the bar, right? That's the long time frame
Yeah.
in Daniel chapter 10, and then the mare. And so what we're looking at is Daniel's experience of coming into being fit to stand in front of a holy God. And so our warning, our midnight cry message in essence is, yes, we have all this prophetic witness, but the witness is pointing to an internal work that God wants to do in you, prepare you for the Sunday law, and that the Sunday law is coming. And when the Sunday law arrives, there's an angel that comes down out of heaven, because we know there's an empowerment, right?
Yes. Well,
Which
I
is
are you
typifying
can
what
you
happened on 9/11. or which or 1989 or 1798 or however, whichever line you want to lay on it in effect.
What are you saying? What did you say?
If we're saying all these lines are culminating at the Sunday law and there's a preparation that needs to happen before Sunday law, we can lay on there Christ coming down and empowering the message at the Sunday law. It becomes a loud cry, is preceded by all the other times that Christ came down or an angel came down out of heaven, meaning any of the lines
Right.
that show that we can lay on top of this time frame.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the screen, if you still have it, I went to this great controversy quote, and
Yeah.
I really think it is a sentence we need to wrap our mind around. Says many, both ministers and people, will gladly accept those great truths, which God has caused to be proclaimed at this time to prepare a people for the Lord's second coming. What you were saying there, I'm in agreement with, and you were saying, maybe not what I meant by what you were saying, but I agree with it, is that our work now is to understand this prophetic message. And at the Sunday law, we will have the light we need to give the message. And that's what I'm saying, is that we're in a prophetic test at this point in time. And even though there's tons of counsel in the spirit of prophecy about how we're supposed to be witnessing to people, and I'm not saying you're not supposed to be witnessing to people and working for people. At this point, the two witnesses, there was probably several others, but two to make my point, if my point is valid, is that in this point of our history, we're in a history that's been illustrated by the Exeter Camp meeting. And by, or at least we're heading to that history, and by the 10 days that the disciples are in the upper room waiting for Pentecost. And so we're not so much in the carrying the gospel to the world mode,
Right.
because the work of unity and perfection of character is what we've been called to. And once the Lord accomplishes that in us, He's going to cause the message to be proclaimed, and He's going to do it through His providence. And that's one of the things about what just went on in this election. For whatever reason, Clayton and I, when we were doing our morning worship, we had different perspectives when we first started this, I mean, back in 2023, about whether the Democratic Party was going to stay in control. And from all the foolishness they were getting away with, he was thinking maybe they were going to stay in control. And him and I worked through, I'd tell him, you see what happened here, and he'd tell me, see what happened there. So we were comparing notes as time unfolded. And the Lord has allowed any who are willing to see that he was in control of every bit of this. Trump had to be removed, even if there wasn't an eighth of the
Yeah.
seventh. The Democrats had to manifest their character in order to push the majority of this population into Trump's camp. And at the same time, he's made a religious hero. Okay, so because Clay and I were watching this, you can't even count how many times early on I told Clayton, you watch, everything Biden does is going to blow up in his face, something along that line. And sure enough, if you go back over the past couple of years, everything that every time they arrested his person, arrested him for something, when they went and raided his house in Mar-a-Lago, every time they did something, it only made him stronger and more popular. That's the Lord showing that his providence was forcing the message of wokeism versus conservatism to be proclaimed at that time. And the argument was between Democrats and Republicans. The next argument is between Republicans and God's people. But
Amen.
it'll be the same dynamics, and it will be the same thing. He somehow, in his providential leading, is going to cause the truths that need to be proclaimed at this time. And we need to see that he is showing us through his prophetic word, by their fulfillment, what they mean. Even though we knew what they mean when they're fulfilled, we suddenly know all kinds of other little tidbits. I mean, it's incredible what's going on in the world right now. This is scatter revival and reformation. And I always assumed from my study, and I've studied this a lot, that it's something that just went on in the fallen Protestant churches. And now I'm realizing, no, it goes on in the entire nation.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I see the same thing. I guess what I was getting at is when we get to Exeter, the message is empowered at Exeter. Whatever that, however we perceive that to be, but it's internal until we get to Sunday law. Then at Sunday law, that's when God is going to lift this message up, or just before, I mean, right at it, wherever, somewhere just before it, or right at it, or right after it, however that works out. But we're lifted up as an ensign at that point. And that in and of itself propels the message, by my understanding. But before that happens, it seems to me there's some sort of internal work within, whether it's Adventism, whether it's in this movement, or however we're going to settle on that, or whatever we see happens. But at Exeter, whenever Exeter arrives, the proclamation, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Not because we believe there's a second coming of Jesus Christ at the Sunday law, but that typifies the close of probation at the same time, right? The actual second coming of Christ. And so it seems like there's an internal message that's going to go to God's people, that's going to call them to prepare for what's about to happen. Am I just off track? I mean, or is
I think the message from 7:23 is that,
that's the from 7:23.
from 2023, that's the message. This message is get ready, get ready, get ready. All the lines of prophecy saying you're almost at Exeter.
But
Get
Exeter's
to
the
Exeter.
empowerment of it. Is that, am I understanding that correct? When we get to Exeter, this message, I don't think it's a new message at Exeter. It's this message that is fully developed and now is going in power internally, though, not necessarily to the world yet. I think it goes to the world at the Sunday law. But there's something that is going to give the people within, whoever, people who left this movement, people who were in the Adventist church, who are honest, what honest at heart, have the opportunity to see what's about to happen before it happens, so that they can make their decisions, and at the Sunday law, their characters manifested, whether they be lifted up or not. Is that?
Perhaps you seem too lenient to me, but that's good. Jesus in his judgment will be much more lenient than me. I'm seeing a progressive passing by of people, and when I look
Sure.
for those people that are responding, I'm assuming they're the people that are responding around planet Earth right now, not the ones that are responding to our Zoom meeting. Although all of us may be on track too, but I mean the little numbers here aren't reflecting where I'm understanding this message to go. But I have taught, and I know this is true in the articles, that there's the seal of God. It has two applications. There's a point where the seal of God is upon God's people, but it can only be seen by angels, and she says so. The seal can only be seen by angels. But then
Sure.
there's a point where the world can see it. And Sister White says the world can only be warned by seeing men and women with the seal of God upon them and in the Sunday law crisis. So once the Sunday law crisis arrives, that is what propels God's people into the sky as an ensign, because now the Sunday law is here and they're arguing about. But the quote in Great Controversy where Sister White says something like this: as the event so long doubted is and disbelieved is seen to be approaching, the message will have an impetus in it that heretofore could not have had, something like that. So for the Sunday law, it gets to the point to where you can actually see, if you're willing to see, they're going to pass the Sunday law. Okay, that's the image of the beast testing done, probably the very end of it. Okay, so it's the because it's going on in darkness and the image of the beast time before that, but finally it breaks out into the open. And yeah, logically, that's the last chance for someone to be successful with the image of the beast test. But in that time period, the sprinkling of the latter rain that began at 9/11, it begins to sprinkle again in July of 2023. Okay. And it's escalating, and when it hits the Sunday law, it changes from the midnight cry to the loud cry. So it's an escalation of power that's
Full out
taking
porn.
place. And something about the empowerment has to do with seeing the Sunday law approach. And I don't think many people see that of Seventh-day Adventists. I think that's, and you know there's passages where she says, we're just talking about everyone doing whatever they normally do when probation closes. I think it's very, very difficult for a Seventh-day Adventist to be in a position where they're going to recognize this movement in time and time to take it all in. You've got to take it all in. You got to come to grips with all the truth, the attesting truth in this history. And the final movement's a rapid one. So
So when you say that
that
the so when
see a big bunch of Seventh-day Adventists coming on board in this history right now. I hope they do.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to understand what our role is, like what we're doing, where I'm supposed to, who gets this message. Like, I mean, I'll give it to anybody who will listen to it. Personally, frankly. But I do also have a question. When you say that the counterfeit precedes the genuine, well, you don't say that. Ellen White says that, but we say that as a movement. Have we, so we, I don't know that we've fully seen the counterfeit outpouring of the Holy Spirit yet. Are you saying we have at the election?
Yes, I'm saying that. I'm saying that because I used to brag, probably the right word, but it's a bad word. But I used to brag. I've never been on Facebook, still haven't. Maybe someone showed me something on Facebook on their computer and all that. I've never did any of that stuff. And then Clayton, he hooked me up with X just a few weeks ago. And I have been spending some time on there watching the testimonies of the fallout of the election. And there's a way that you bookmark. You're looking at this little section, and if you want to keep it, you bookmark it. And I started early on bookmarking all the references to false, or what I consider to be false revivals that are going on around the world right now. And it's happening all over the place. And I'm not exaggerating to try to put some kind of emotional impact into this sermon I'm giving today. There's revivals of thousands of people in one place is happening across the board, and they think that God is working marvelously for them. Multitudes will exult that God is working marvelously for them when the work is that of another spirit. Under a religious guise, Satan will seek to extend his influence over the Christian world. You've got people now on Facebook that are tatted out with all this metal in their face and everything. You would think they were really in the world. And they're talking about how God is leading Trump and this country back to himself. Okay, that's going on if you're not realizing it. And I don't know how we could expect that, how we could claim that isn't the false revival. The only way that I could claim that wasn't the false revival is to say that everything that we've been teaching about the eighth presidency of the seventh, that it's not valid. Because the eighth presidency of the seventh is the last president. He's the one that's at the Sunday law. Well, how much more time do we have for this false counterfeit movement to get up and running?
Sure. No, I mean, I think that it's at least the beginning, at a minimum.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Yes.
Like, I see what you're saying. I think that that's happening. So should we then expect to see the empowerment? So what we're saying then is that Exeter is about to happen.
Yes.
Like, it's any moment.
Yeah, what you and I were talking about on the phone a week or so ago, where do we line up Boston and then Concord and then Exeter? I'm sure we could do it, but I haven't tried to actually put it on the line yet. I'm sure it goes on there. I'm sure of that.
Yeah.
Are we in between Concord and Exeter? I don't think so, because Concord means unity. Okay, that to me seems like you've reached the 10 days that lead to the Sunday law, as
Okay.
typified by the disciples.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're between Boston and
Well,
Exeter,
yeah.
which is Concord. But the, I mean, it's not Concord, but Concord leads into Exeter. Boston is, it's a symbol of the Patriot movement, okay?
Yes.
The Patriot movement, Boston Tea Party,
Yes.
it would very easily correspond in my mind with Modine. The town means protest. And that's where Messiah, the symbol of apostate Protestantism at the end of the world, did his protest against the Greek influence of wokeism and those fellow citizens that were promoting it, the Democratic Party. So there's the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
So we're in between Boston now and Concord. And is that, I don't know. See, that's the thing that for myself, I've settled on is that these horns of the United States, of Protestantism and Republicanism, they go through parallel history, but they don't light up exactly to the day and month. Sometimes they do, but not always. So
Now there would
I see. Go ahead.
have to be at some point a marriage between the horns with the church in control of the state. We should is that it seems to be taking place. I don't think it's fully happened yet.
Neither do I.
Okay.
Because the thing that only the people in, maybe right now, only the people in North Carolina can settle into is that the judgments of God are what are going to push this along. Because this is the Elijah message, and the first thing Elijah prayed for is that God would bring his people to righteousness through judgment. Okay.
Yeah.
And the trial, well, 3.5 years was a judgment. Him slaying the prophets of Baal and the priests of Baal was a judgment. So
Right.
Elijah's message is accompanied with God's judgment, and I think those are going to escalate, and they'll change the narrative very quickly. Here, people think that Trump's going to bring in a glorious era for the United States, and as he
All right.
tries to do things that seem reasonable to him, they're going to fail because, hey, God's going to bring judgment on this country. He's already doing it. He's already
Yeah.
doing it.
Yeah. Okay. I think that helps me understand all these things, and I think we're, you know, what on Friday night and then this afternoon when we do our study, I think that helps me make sure that I'm not getting off track. I don't want to tell people something that's not right, and so I think what we're going through in your letters, I've seen we're on the same page is what I'm seeing. So that's good. I needed to clarify some things just to make sure that I wasn't making up my own stuff.
I'm under conviction as far as this message that the Lord kind of, I don't know, I can't blame it on the Lord. The articles quit going out, quit writing them so much, did some other things so that the message hasn't been flowing like it was several months ago in terms of putting it out in our newsletter, which is just our work. I'm not saying anything else. But I look at what we're looking at right now. And I believe the Lord wanted us to camp out in this realm of prophecy to where we can internalize these concepts. And I'm certain that he has more clarity about this history you're asking about from the disappointment in 2020 until the Sunday law, which is the final sealing of God's people. It's the midnight cry, it's the final image of the beast testing time. This is the most serious part of the hidden history of verse 40, I believe,
Amen.
and he's wanting us to settle into it. And there's things that it's going to do for us as individuals that we don't quite yet see, but I'm certain they're going to take place. There's a verse in the Bible, and I can't quote it, but it raises the question: will a woman bring a baby to term and not bring it forth. The Lord is bringing the 144,000 to term, and he's going to bring them forth.
Amen. Okay, I don't know if anybody else has any questions, but I've taken up enough time. I appreciate having the opportunity to talk about that.
Praise the Lord.
Shar, you can unmute yourself.
Happy Sabbath.
You got
I have
an echo
a question
chamber.
About the quote by Sister White where she talks about temporal prosperity. And I'm looking for it. I just had it up on my screen here. I think Elder Jeff touched on it, but I had that thought come in my head like a few days ago, right after Trump was elected again. And I was sharing it with Paul. Let me just see where I had it.
I have it.
Yeah, so it's in Great Controversy, 590.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had my volume down on my computer here. GC 590, paragraph 1, it is elaborating on the temporal prosperity. I'm not going to read it all, but are you familiar with what I'm asking? I don't know if anybody's following along with what I'm asking.
Yeah, I have that paragraph on the screen right now. Anyone that's on the Zoom can see it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I went onto my own screen. Let me go back to your screen. Right. Yeah. Okay. So that was in your study, your notes today?
No, that's in another study I have. I just knew where it was.
Okay. Okay, great. Right. So, yeah, I don't know. My understanding is that, like, that's what's happening now under, Trump's return, that, the U.S. is going to return to temporal prosperity, and that's the time that we're living in right now, because under Biden and Harris, everything kind of, flip-flopped, so to speak, and, the dollar went under, and it was just the whole economic crash experienced here. So I'm just thinking that things are going to start to, in terms of the economy in general, things are going to be on the up, on the rise. That's what I'm thinking, but only temporarily, on the basis of this quote here.
Well, I don't know why you, I get what you're saying, but I don't know that you have necessarily a justification for thinking that there's a little bump for Trump to turn the economy around. It could very well be that he never even gets opportunity to turn it around. The removal of temporal prosperity, if it began in 9/11, was a classic one. The money that was lost at 9/11, and 9/11 is the beginning of a prophetic history that we're in the end of. So we need to see another economic collapse like 9/11. There's one coming, and it doesn't mean that Trump has to have a period of time where everything goes well. Right now, if everything continued to fall apart and get worse and worse, this paragraph would still be fulfilled. The accusation urged of old against the servant of God will repeat it upon the ground equally well established. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that this passage justifies thinking that when Trump is inaugurated, that there will be a bubble of economic prosperity. It may start crashing before he even gets inaugurated.
Mm-hmm. But I don't. You,
People still have that same, the people would still cry out, return us to temporal prosperity. They would manifest the same response, whether he has a period of temporal prosperity or not.
right. But the other thing was just like on the same kind of subject about temporal prosperity and if it's actually happening, you know, if we're seeing it happening right now unfolding, it's just when Trump did when he won a couple of days back, the stock market boomed. It went on a, you know, it went there was it was in the news. It had increased the stock market, the rates and everything. The dollar went up just the day that he was elected, is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know if anybody heard that, but that was in the news. It was in a number of media outlets.
That's in the news, but some people in the news are saying, and it's reasonable from a human perspective, I'm sure, is that that increase in the stock market would have happened whether Trump won or lost, because it was based upon the Fed cutting the interest rate. Okay, the Fed also cut the interest rate right before the stock market went through the roof. So there's some people saying it's just as much about the Federal Reserve as it is about Trump. But that is, you know, that isn't the temporal prosperity that causes the citizens of the United States to cry out, because there isn't that many citizens in the United States that have their temporal prosperity locked into Wall Street. Okay, their temporal prosperity has already taken a hit of over the past 4 years, and if it doesn't get turned around right away, it's just going to continue going downhill. But we're not talking, now we're just talking
Okay,
color
thank
politics.
you. Praise the Lord for your study.
Bye.
Yeah, Daniel. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so earlier, way earlier, near the beginning of your study, you had put something on the line there, and you had put the inauguration in one place and the election in the other, and it took to the left. Okay, so you have the inauguration there, I think, at the end of it, and then the election there on November 5th, and so that sparked a curiosity on my part, and let's see if I can get to it on my phone. Okay, here it is right here. So what I did is that I just did a quick word search in the spirit of prophecy, putting the two words cross and election together. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Back, let me go back to where I was. I had sent you that actually. That statement that you put on there, Great Controversy 464, about the false revival before the true, I sent that to you in an email last night, okay? And also in that is that when you search the spirit of prophecy, and put the word inauguration in it, that most of the time, whenever Sister White uses the word inauguration, it is in reference to Christ's inauguration after his resurrection. And the inauguration is actually, when you read the whole, read the statements in context, Christ was inaugurated, or maybe I should say it this way, the Pentecostal outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened when Christ was being inaugurated. Okay.
Right, good for you. Yeah.
Okay,
It was
so
the sign believers below, she says, that his offering had been accepted and that the inauguration was complete. Yep, that's right.
that's signifying the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So then the counterfeit of that, I'm thinking, would be at the inauguration of Christ, the false revival if it hasn't already begun now, will begin then, at least in earnest. Okay. Now, you have that. But then when you consider the election, now we get to the statement that I was going to read here. And this is just one of several. Okay. To me, this one here is the best one. There's several hits on this. I'll just read the one sentence that I think would apply. When men respond to the drawing of Christ and view Jesus as the royal sufferer on the cross of Calvary, they enter into oneness with Christ. They become the elect of God, not by works of their own, but through the grace of Christ, for their own, for all their good works are wrought through the power of the Spirit of God. So it seems to me that the election of this past Tuesday would be aligned with the waymark of the cross. So you have, because in the time of Christ, you had the cross and then the inauguration later. So, yeah, I wasn't going to bring this up, what I'm saying here, until I had decided not to. But when Larry brought up, he said something a while ago to you about, and I forgive me if I'm misquoting, but I think he said something about how he questioned about the maybe right now there is the beginning of the outpouring of God's Spirit upon God's people now, since Tuesday. That may not be quite right, but that's the best I can remember of what he said. So, in agreement with that thought, when you go to the cross of, when you study the Desire of Ages, when Sister White is describing what happened at the cross, there's a passage, there's a paragraph there in the Desire of Ages where she's saying something like, never before had people, both pro and con, I mean, those that, you know, there were some that she says that were searching for evidences to confirm that Christ was the Messiah, and some were trying to convince themselves that he was not the Messiah, okay, that he was not fulfilling prophecy. So you had the two sides right there. So the emphasis, what I'm trying to emphasize there is that there is a more earnest searching of the scriptures at the cross, where God's people are essentially elected. Okay, from there until the inauguration. Does that make any sense?
Well, I think I'm following your logic. I have on the screen a pattern where you have the election that just happened. I put a cross above it, and then I also put a cross above the Sunday law because we know the Sunday law lines up with the cross too. So you're saying, if I understand it, that at the inauguration in 2025, that parallels Pentecost,
Yes.
when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And we know that Pentecost begins at the Sunday law, which is also the cross. I don't know. The thing I was thinking is that was following your logic is that this is no doubt, there's no doubt, you know, or I don't know if there's no doubt. This may very well line up with prophetic application, just how it's supposed to. But what we're dealing with the election isn't the line of the 144,000, it's the line of the Republican horn. So the election being the cross and his inauguration being the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It makes better sense to me that what's being portrayed is a counterfeit outpouring
Yes.
because that, okay, so that's what you're saying too. All right.
Yes. But I'm also saying that, well, it, as far as the experience of God's, what's that?
It would precede the true at the Sunday law.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's a parallel, some kind of parallel in there, because you have this false revival, like you said, that is beginning. Well, then what's happening with God's people? Is there, or am I kind of, don't I have things shifted?
No. Can you see this
Yes.
screen right? Okay, this history here is Trump getting elected, and he's going to get inaugurated, and in so doing, he'll parallel the miracles of Hanukkah when they dedicated the second temple the second time, and Trump is dedicating his temple at his second inauguration, and therefore, the oil that lasted 8 days at Hanukkah is a symbol of the false outpouring of a counterfeit message at the inauguration, which empowers those people to begin the work of setting up the image of the beast. And the beginning of the setting up of the image of the beast is the next waymark right here. And it leads to the Sunday law, where the cross, what the cross typifies, and the true outpouring of the Spirit. So we have the counterfeit preceding the true, this being the Republican and Protestant horn that ultimately come together in this history as the image of the beast, which in the very same history, the image of God is perfectly and forever sealed into the 144,000. It's in this history right here where both of these sealings would be taking place. Yeah, that lines up pretty good, I think. In terms of addressing the counterfeit to precede the true, and I'm convinced. I don't know on this X, I don't know how to go gather all these things I don't even know how to find where I find my bookmarks, okay? But I know I have 20 or 30 places where there's these crazy Pentecostal revivals or Catholic revivals, or they're happening. And like I was telling Larry in one of his responses earlier, and I hope everyone gets this, that in our history, the history of the third angel from 1989 to the Sunday law, every one of these waymarks where there is an unsealing, which I don't know of any of the waymarks where there isn't an unsealing, I don't think, but any of the primary waymarks where an angel arrives, there's an unsealing, and all those unsealings get repeated at the end of time, because all their beginnings meet their fulfillment at the ending. And that history, I forgot where I was going with that about the repetition of history. I'm sorry. Anyway, I lost it there, which is normal. Yeah, if you can see this on the board like you were explaining it, let me. I get what you say, but let me run it by the brothers and sisters that still may be listening to this. They're not. It's such a white. We've used this for years. It's such a white in Desire of Ages. It says that the inauguration when Christ ascended, it took place at Pentecost, and the sign that his work had been accepted and that the inauguration ceremony in heaven was complete was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. So this is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit over here on 1/20/2025 at Trump's inauguration, which we're saying lines up with the second temple dedication in the line of the Maccabees, where they supposedly had these false manifestations, these false miracles, which they claim are true. And it's preceded by the cross of the election. And the cross is where there's a selection that takes place. And this being the counterfeit that precedes the true, it brings us over here to the cross that is the Sunday law that's followed by Pentecost. So we have opened up to us as once the election arrives, we now see this counterfeit movement and how it squares with the real revival and reformation that is about to come. And it's in this history here, this middle ground, where both images are perfected in the United States. You either get A character prepared for the image of the beast, or a character prepared for the image of God, and then the testing process goes out to the rest of the world. But anyway, I can't remember what I was going to say about 1989 and what Larry had brought up, but I'll
Thank
let you
you.
guys go if you. Thank you.
Hey, Larry.
All right, so I had a it cost me another question here, or a statement, and maybe you can validate whether my thought is accurate. So we're lining Pentecost up with the early rain and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit now as the latter rain. But at the time of Christ, we also know Christ came to the disciples in the upper room and breathed upon them. And I've always understood that to be the early rain and Pentecost to be the latter rain in the line of Christ. Is that true?
It may be true, but I think it has other applications. And I know that in one article I wrote about that, I go through and show in one article that the disciples on the road to Emmaus,
Yeah.
they go through a tarrying time, and then Christ
It's like normal.
reveals himself while they're eating. Okay.
Yes.
They run back to Jerusalem, and then Christ comes, and he goes through the same process. He reveals himself, and he's eating. Give me some broiled fish or whatever it
Honey,
was.
yeah.
So you, what I argued is that you can't separate the slaying of the lamb on Passover from Pentecost. They are feast days that are purposely connected. Okay, they're all one line. They're not individual feasts that stand alone. And that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost is really just the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the cross. But there's details between the cross and Pentecost that we need to understand, the 40 and the 10. But the tarrying time, I think there's several tarrying times. This is the way to say it. I think there's several tarrying times illustrated in the Gospels, and you have to apply them according to context. And what you said about the breathing upon the disciples when he returned being the early rain in relation to the latter rain at Pentecost, I think that's valid. But the latter rain at Pentecost is the early rain for the Christian church.
That's right.
And the midnight cry for the Millerites was the early rain for the three angels' messages. And the midnight
Amen.
cry for us is the latter rain for the three angels' messages. But the
Yes.
midnight cry changes to the loud cry at the Sunday law.
Amen. So my other
And
thought
so,
was is the thing that I read just a minute ago. The latter rain began to sprinkle in 2001, and the final testing of Adventism began on July 2023. The final period of the testing process, concluding the Sunday law, began in the midnight cry, which is also the latter rain. So we would say that 2001 was the beginning of the latter rain, or when Christ breathed upon the disciples. But July 2023 could almost be
he's
the
breathing on his disciples. He breathed upon his disciples in July of 2023. You
so.
have it. Ezekiel 37.
Right.
Bring the breath of the four winds. Okay.
So then, so what
He's
happened on 2001? Is that just, are you marrying those two saying?
I don't have a problem with his breathing on his disciples there. I made that argument in this presentation, that in every way mark where there's an unsealing, that is the beginning of a line of thought, that when you get to the end of that prophetic line, you're going to have to see the beginning there. And 9/11 is the beginning of the sealing, and therefore it's going to illustrate the end of the sealing. And at 9/11, the latter rain began to sprinkle. And when that process is over at the Sunday law, the latter rain gets poured out without measure.
That's right.
But the At the end of the sealing time, God's people aren't receiving the latter rain because they've been scattered, dead in the street for 3.5 days. And he awakens them and gives them a sprinkling again. He gives them a message. And it's escalating into the loud cry ultimately. But his whole progress, his escalation, has been illustrated in the history of 9/11 to the Sunday Law, because Jesus illustrates
Right.
the end of the
And so that was my thinking, and that's what I, when we were going through that, that's what I was trying to explain to everyone. While Pentecost is the early rain for the Christians, which the latter rain being at the Sunday Law, we can also see that in those lines there's a Alpha and Omega that's repeated in the Alpha and Omega of the big line. And I was just making sure that I'm accurately portraying to people, that what I'm saying is accurate, is what I'm wanting to validate. And I think what Daniel said is just another line, just another, what would you say, another dimension, or another way of looking at it as well. Like, just adds to it.
Well, what he adds here is when he and I were talking this week, which prompted his further study that prompted his email to me. It was about, I was telling him, at least impartially, about my conviction that the counterfeit revival and reformation is here.
Yeah.
And it's been here for a while, but once Trump was elected, that was proof for everyone that wanted to see that God was leading this man and this nation.
And if
And
you go
there's
back
people
and you look at his
on the side
first,
to celebrate. What's
I'm sorry.
that?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
If you go back to his first election, they were doing the same thing. They were saying he was Cyrus back then. And that they had,
Not like
no,
now.
not like now, but it was there. They had him as Cyrus. They had people who were having visions and dreams. You can look up all these documentaries on people who had visions about Trump being the savior, basically Cyrus. And all there, like, there was all these stories about it, even back at his original one. And so it would make sense that we would see it again now, as a re
There was a coin from his first election. There was a coin minted in Israel. I don't know if it was a coin that was legal tender or one of these coins they sell just because it's precious metal. But that's
Yeah.
what it was. It was a picture of Trump, and it had on it Cyrus and the biblical quotes about Cyrus being the deliverer. This was in
Yeah.
Israel. But the thing about it is, the enigma, if that's the right way to say it, of the eighth being of the seventh, that's one of the things that has been unsealed. And it's
Yeah.
so profound. And since this election of Tuesday, you can really see, if you want to see, that you had to have you had to have Biden steal the election. It had to be there in order to put Trump in the position to fulfill his role as prophecy. So even though you had an inkling of that kind of sentiment in his first election, this one is supercharged. I
Yeah,
mean, he's
I can't think of the word that they use.
what's that?
I can't think of the word that they're using, but they're using a very, he's got a mandate now, is the word they're
Yes.
using. He's got a mandate because he's like a two, is it like 1.5 million votes, for the overall vote, the popular vote. And
Yeah.
he had a landslide with the Electoral College. And so he's got the House and the Senate. And so they're basically saying that the American people have given him a mandate to carry out what he said he was going to do. And of course, I would point to the him saying to deal with all the migrant issues, that he's going to use the Alien Sedition Act, which is exactly what we've been saying. And
Yeah.
now he's got this mandate that there's no one who's going to stop him.
The one of the things that they brought out is the only states that Kamala won were states that allowed for voting without any ID. And then when you look at the discrepancy on how many votes Biden supposedly got in 2020, and how many Obama had got, and how many Kamala got. Anyone with just, half a brain can see that was a rigged election, but it had to be because everyone needed to see it. Everyone uses the. There was people that in the first election, and they didn't wouldn't have nothing to do with Trump, and now they're praising him. It's unbelievable what God has done with one election.
Amen. Amen. All
I mean,
right.
it's not unbelievable.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Well, thank you. Okay. And
All right.
thank you for the sermon this morning and just your willingness to put yourself out there. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good Sabbath.
John.
Hi, Jeff. Happy Sabbath. I just wanted to make a statement or a comment about the having the House and the Senate and how likely it is that things are going to be moving forward within the next couple of years because he potentially could lose the House and Senate after the, but we know he has it for the next 2 years, so maybe make a comment on. We know that times when we literally live are going to be rapid ones, so I just thought you might mention that. That's all I got.
Yeah, I've if you have your screen up in here between his inauguration in 2025 and the Sunday law this history here, I'm sure there's one way mark here. I can bring lots of witnesses. There may be another way mark or two that I'm missing. But that, like you said, the final movements are going to be rapid ones. I just have a hunch that he's not going to have much success, and it's not because the Democrats are going to be fighting with him. I think the Lord is going to start interceding into human history to bring this to a conclusion, because I think if you're serious and you look closely and understand the light that has been revealed about the judgment of the living, I mean, I'm not being shallow about this. I'm being serious. The Democrats were under strong delusion in fulfillment of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Sister White, it's clear that God judges men and nations and churches the same way. So he just Adventist Church, God's people are going through the judgment of the living, but so is the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy, the United States, which is a subject of Bible prophecy at the end of time from 1798 until the Sunday law. And you can show that the testing process that brought the Democratic Party to the end included the outpouring of strong delusion. And we have shown more than once through the years that when the two things are going on when the strong delusion is being poured out upon people, one is that the latter rain is being poured out, and the other is that the Holy Spirit's being withdrawn from human beings. And you look at the way some of these Democrats are responding to their laws. It's demonic. They have no influence of the Holy Spirit any longer. It is a visual, honest illustration of the strong delusion that takes place during the process of the judgment of the living that is being carried out upon the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy. And it's a two-step process of first the Democrats and the Republicans, just as the judgment of the living has been illustrated in the history of the Millerites, with the Protestants being tested from August 11, 1840 till April 19, 1844, and then the Millerites being tested thereafter. So the Democrats were tested first. Now the Republicans are being tested. And what I'm saying is, we're in the time period where the strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians is being poured out, and the latter rain is being poured out. There is not years and years of a comfortable prosperity that's brought about by Donald Trump. This is the president that brings in the Sunday law.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much, Jeff. I appreciate that. And keep going strong. Amen.
Hey, one correction from the news. Clayton says I was wrong about one thing, and I'll make the correction now, is that I thought I heard that Trump told Putin to get the Ukrainian war over before his inauguration, but it wasn't that. He told Netanyahu, or however you pronounce his name, to get the Israeli war over before his inauguration. But Putin did say the New World Order is over now since his election. So just a minor correction, I think. But
He
I'm going to
did.
sign off. Everybody,
Well, Jeff, he did
go ahead.
already have a call with Putin where he talked about them ending it, and Elon Musk was on the call with them. Zelensky of the Ukraine, yeah.
Yeah, well,
Putin and Zelensky.
I had another question.
Okay.
Hello.
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 Hi there, Elder Jeff. So we're in the final movements. This was being said over and over again. And I believe that. I'm convicted of that the final movements are rapid, going to be rapid ones. But so does that mean these 4 years that Trump is going to be coming back into office, that within those 4 years there's going to be a Sunday law passed? Is that correct understanding?
Well, it
Well, it
doesn't
doesn't
have to
have to
be.
be.
Okay.
Someone's got I got an echo going on, maybe not now. Okay, so
Turn
you
it back.
can you could get in a war, okay? And when the country's in the war, the president can extend his term until the end of the war. That's what Roosevelt did in World War II. So you don't necessarily, if you're going to project how, Trump's presidency, you can't automatically limit it to 4 years. But the prophetically, I think you pretty much have to limit it to Trump. And legally, if there's no war or anything, he can't run again. So it's got to be in this term.
That's what I
Or
thought, yeah.
otherwise, what we're teaching about the eighth being of the seven is invalid. And Daniel 11 verses 1 and 2 is invalid. Everything comes. I mean, we're getting locked into what we understand now, to the point that some of these things that may seem a little bit provocative, they're getting to the point that if you remove them, you got to pull a bunch of other planks out. This is pretty firm. He is the eighth that is of the seven since the time of the 1989, and there isn't going to be a ninth. And he legally can't for one more term. He could if there was a war, and there are wars during this time period. But I think we have reason to believe that the empowerment of the revival, reformation, the counterfeit, it takes place at or around his inauguration. Not just based upon what Daniel added about a false Pentecost at that point, but that's the story of Hanukkah. And it's the story of the two temple dedications. And I'm arguing that what Trump is dedicating at his inauguration is the political religious temple that he's going to set in and rule from. So it gets inaugurated. And when Moses and Solomon inaugurated, there was fire that came down out of heaven. That's four lines saying we should expect
It's coming soon. This Sunday law
some
is coming soon.
spiritual manifestations at that point that push things forward right away.
And I've watched quite a few of his rallies, and he always says, "I'm going to fix, everything, and it's going to be done soon." He always says that, like whatever he's going to do it very quickly. So it just reminds me of that Sister White quote where she says final movements will be rapid ones, because when he says he's going to do something, he most likely does it. So we live in Nevada, Paul and I, right now, and Nevada was actually the last seven of the swing states, which were waiting to be the votes waiting to be counted. And the final count was today on the Sabbath. So Nevada's vote for Trump to be the president was counted today on the Sabbath. I thought that was kind of interesting, but it doesn't probably mean anything in terms of prophecy. That
Yeah.
was all. Thank you.
And the Congress is still up for grabs. I mean, it's going to be Republican majority, but there's still votes that are being counted.
Thank you.
Not
Have a
to say,
blessed Sabbath, everyone.
someone said early on in this discussion that they hadn't got the Senate for sure or whatever. They didn't say it that way, but the Senate is locked in.
Yeah, that's
They
locked
have.
in. Yeah, Republicans are at 212 for this House, and they need 218.
Hey, Clayton and I have spoke about that. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters, okay? But if he goes and starts arresting people that have been involved with the conspiracy, probably there's some Republican congressmen that are going to get removed from office and go to jail. So there'll be some vacancies. Who knows?
But also FFA's Future America's prediction came true. It was a prediction, but this time it wasn't on time. Time had nothing to do with it. So praise the Lord for that. I think because you were loyal and you were faithful to your calling, this prediction came true about Trump being the next president or being president again. So just wanted to add that. Praise the Lord.
That would be a great title for this presentation.
That was a long, those were some long words I just said. I'm not sure what you took out of that, but okay.
What would it be?
I would shorten it to well, FFA prediction came true, and then with that, maybe. But yeah, that's the gist of it. Yeah.
I'll see you all later. I got to sign off now. I
May
got
I say
something going
one
on.
quick thing, Jeff, before you leave? If you don't mind, would you say one more prayer for us? You talked about how we need to be praying more. Do you mind saying just one more quick prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've spent here this day, in these tremendous times which the holy men of old wish they could live in this very time period. And here we are. And we ask for an extra measure of your spirit that we might have the discernment to recognize the things that are taking place around us are simply the fulfillment of your word, and that this might bolster us up to accomplish the work that we need to take up, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That when you choose to put us in the public arena and defend the truth that is going to come under attack in the near future, that we would be ready to do so. Please bless all of us that are studying these things around the world and continue to pour your spirit out upon us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Elder Jeff.